All right, thank you for the introduction. I want to present just a short piece of my thesis here from Oklahoma State. And we're looking at strategies to improve canola establishment in our conservation systems, mainly due from producer interest to incorporate canola into winter wheat rotation. And so the reason we're rotating canola with our winter wheat is for economic diversity. It's been shown to have a $24 to $26 increase return from that rotation. And there's also an alternative market. Looking at the oilseed market, not a commodity or a grain market tied to the grain. So it offers that diversity at the point of sale. And we also see a wheat yield boost. And this is about 10 to 15%. Of a yield boost in the wheat following that canola. And we have increased options for pest control, whether it's grassy weeds, where we can spray Select or Sure Post Plus, and Roundup with our Roundup Ready hybrids. And then it gives us time to disrupt disease cycles that may be present in a continuous wheat system. But our acres, or the hectares, our land that's planted to canola is still pretty minimal. And so the question gets brought up, why isn't there more acres planted? But it's still a new crop compared to wheat, which has been around for a while. And then we have this issue of winter kill and survival. It's not an aesthetic crop. Whenever it goes through a freeze, it doesn't look as pretty as a wheat crop. And so most of the producers who are interested in the canola are also in conservation systems. And it's been shown that the heavy residue influences winter survival and ultimately winter kill. So how can we manipulate or manage this wheat residue to create an environment conducive for canola growth and establishment, but maintaining the benefits of a no-till system? And the objective of this one study here is to evaluate the impact of burning and shallow tillage on the stand count of canola and also on the yield. So going into this, I first thought that using our vertical tillage or our shallow tillage methods, it won't increase the grain yield or improve the stand compared to our no-till systems. And alternatively, we would see that increase in both yield and stand count. So I'm just presenting 1 year of data from two different sites. This is from 2014-2015. The first site was in Fairview, Oklahoma, which is within our wheat belt. We had 4 reps by 6 treatment, randomized complete block. And the treatments consisted of no-till, harrow, burn, and 3 different intensities of vertical tillage. Similarly, in Chickasha, we added a different style of vertical till and an addition of a cover crop due to it being on a research station. So in Fairview, we ran the Great Plains Turbo Max. It was a 30-foot unit. And then, like I mentioned earlier, we burned. Then I ran the Harrow twice in opposite directions to ensure sufficient soil mixing or management. Due to the size of the unit, it would ball up with the wheat residue and just float across the surface. And at Fairview, we planted Citro, 38-centimeter rows at 4 kilograms per hectare with a John Deere no-till air drill. And with that, we put down 11 kilograms of DAP and 11 kilograms of urea. Chickasha was very similar. We had that additional cover crop, which was a mix of iron and clay cowpeas with a BMR forage sorghum, and that was hayed off at the end of June. So then we had the Landall unit, which is a 37-foot unit, and we ran the Harrow twice again, as same as Fairview. And then we ran an 18-foot Great Plains unit and burned on the same day. And then a few weeks later, we planted DeKalb 4615, 38 cinnamon rows, same as Fairview. And we upped our seeding rate to 5.5 kilograms per hectare. And this is planted with a John Deere 1590. And with that, we put 35 kilograms of DAP. So here's a picture of the unit that was used in Fairview. This is the Great Plains TurboMax, and it has an adjustable gang angle of 0 degrees to 6 degrees. And the illustration on the top right kind of gives you an idea of how these gangs adjust relative to the direction of the tractor. And it shows its footprint of the soil, which I think is about 5.5 inches. And you can see the discs are fluted, whereas whenever we look at the Landall, I'll point out some differences between the two units. Here's a graphic showing the different intensities of that vertical tillage on the wheat residue. You can see the 0 degree is kind of fuzzy up there. It just laid the residue over. It wasn't much soil interaction or mixing. The 3 degrees, it started to bury the residue. A little more mixing, and of course the most intense setting started to have a complete mixing of that residue. Here's the Landall unit, 37 foot, and this is fixed at 10 degrees. And you'll notice that the discs are concave and not fluted. And this, per manufacturer's recommendation, is to be pulled at 12.5 kilometers per hour, which is pretty fast because it threw a lot of dirt as compared to the Great Plains unit. Here's just a picture of my cover crop composition and height at time of mowing. We can see that the about the overall height was 65 centimeters or so, and had a fairly decent stand. So after planting in Fairview, which was the second week of September, I came out about a month later and took a stand count assessment. And here's a picture a week after that. But we can see in the no-till plot, we had stand issues, as indicated by the blanks or the skips. And the vertical tillage, which in this picture is 0 degrees, the plants are a little taller, maybe a little more uniform throughout the field. And as we progressed through the winter, we had a loss of stand, and then we had the compensation of that canola plant to kind of fill those voids in the plots. And you can see it compensated about as best as it could in the no-till. And Chickasha was planted a little bit later, and so our plants didn't get as big as they did in Fairview before we had the first freeze, and so they maintained that rosette stage throughout the winter. And then by April 2nd, we were at mid to full bloom. We had bloom differences between treatments, and you can still see the gaps in the no-till stand versus the Great Plains, which in Chickasha was set at 0 degrees. And here's some numbers behind the pictures. This table is the mean number of plants per linear meter. The treatments on the left and my sampling dates represent each column. On October 3rd, we found significant differences between our treatments, with the most intensive treatment, including burn, having the highest density of stand. And this was prior to any freeze event this fall. And as you notice, as we go to November 19th and on to February, we lose our differences as our stand, as we experience winter kill and kind of a homogenization of stand. And when averaged across sites, we can see that the more intensive vertical till units, or the treatments here, maintained a higher stand throughout the season. And we've seen similar effects in Chickasha. Here we had no differences at any given date, but when averaged across dates, we've seen that the Landall had the highest, along with the Great Plains and the burn, and the cover crop was the lowest. But we didn't see this come into yield. We had no differences at Fairview in yield, and an average about 1,800 kilograms per hectare. And even though we had our stand differences, our most intense treatments were higher in stand, we didn't see that in yield. And we attribute that to the compensation of effect of the canola. And similar in Chickasha, the highest density plant stand was our Landall, which is no different than our no-till and the cover crop was the lowest, which is also no different than no-till. So, in summary, regardless of which residue reduction method we used, the stand was not different at any time of measurement, with the exception of that first October 3rd at Fairview, prior to any freeze event. In the vertical tillage and the more intense treatments maintained a higher plant stand throughout the season, yet it didn't translate to an increase in yield. So with that, I'll open up to any questions. Yes.
You had said that heavy residue interferes with effects winter kill.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because it basically interferes with germination and emergence?
I think the reason we see the residue interacting with it is the elevated crown height. Yes, that's kind of the theory. And we're also looking at crown height.
So you're not getting great stout from going into winter, and that's why you're getting
winter. I believe so.
Okay.
Yep.
Other questions?